There was John's baptism, and what he's talking about here, I believe, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person and totally engulfs them in a good way, they become filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about three things on this. Did Paul notice that something was off? I think so. If the disciples had the Holy Spirit, why ask if they received the Holy Spirit? And if they were not disciples, why call them disciples? So there's an interesting thing that's going on here. I'll throw this out there just so everybody knows up front. I don't believe that when you become a believer, you might get something later of the Holy Spirit. You know, you got to wait 10 years, 5 years if you're, 3 years if you're really good. And what I believe is at conversion, you have all of the Holy Spirit. The question, though, is does he have all of you? That's what the question really is. Because the old Methodist circuit riders and John Wesley and a lot of the groups I love and I read their books, they would believe in or call what is a second work of grace, a second experience. Because they would become believers, and then, brother, you got to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You got to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and maybe that will happen later on in your life. And it's a second work of grace. It's something that happens later. However, I think a lot of the groups are saying the same thing. We're saying that many times at conversion, right, there's something missing still. Something is missing in the life of a believer. Sometimes it's not. And I could, if we had time, I could take you to Oswald Chambers, Adoniah Judson, Hudson Taylor, A.W. Tozer, George Whitefield, John Wesley, and different people, men and women, D.L. Moody that we read, Charles Finney, A.B. Simpson, R.A. Torrey, a lot of the old Christian writers, the books you read sometimes, and Charles Wesley who wrote the hymns. I can show you where they were Christians. And then years later, when they finally surrendered everything and stopped playing church, right, and saying, I got this. I'll be a believer. I'll get my out of hell card here. So I'm good, but now I still want to play around with the things of the world. Once they finally come to the end of themselves, D.L. Moody, for example, said that I've been doing the ministry in my flesh. I was building D.L. Moody's empire, and I cried out to God and said, God, it's to you alone. I humble myself. I fully surrender myself. And he was so filled with the Holy Spirit that he had to go into a room for a few hours and just weep before God. Years later, same with A.W. Tozer. Years later, Adrian Rogers, ever listen to him? On the, his old Baptist pastor died about 20 years ago. Listen to his sermons. Listen to Adrian Rogers. He received the second work of the Holy Spirit later on. And often, all the times I read about, it has to do with fully surrendering your life. That was a changing moment in my life. I was a believer, no power, being led astray by the world, falling into the entrapments of the world, loving the lust of the world, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and in this carnality, but wanting God, but stuck in this world system. No power. If you asked me if I was a Christian, I'd say, sure, yeah, I'm a Christian. If I filled out a survey, yeah, I'm a Christian. But you, dare not talk about it, because you don't talk about something you don't have. So I was in this prodigal state, not wanting to be in church, not wanting to grow, not loving worship. I loved Metallica, right? Or Country Boy Can't Survive. We had Hank Williams down. I just want to get drunk and get on the country music. But God, I need you. And then when he broke everything out, he just broke the pride and the stubbornness. It's still there. It rises up. Don't get me wrong. But when he brought me to the end of myself and I cried out to God, I said, God, I'm coming home. Then the Holy Spirit, this endowment of power, this anointing of the Holy Spirit, I could say, no, I didn't receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit when I believed I was living in carnality. But once full surrender took place, now the Word of God becomes alive. Now worship is exalted in my soul. Now I can't get enough of God. What happened? The filling of the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the unction, these words that we don't want to talk about. And here's why we don't want to talk about it, because somebody acts weird on TV. Or we go to a church and they're acting crazy. Like, this is the Holy Spirit. I don't want anything to do with that. So we throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's where that saying comes from. Not the Holy Spirit, but it comes from giving a baby a bath. Oh, this water's dirty, right? And they would go throw it on their grass. Well, don't throw the baby on the grass too. Get the good things out. But see, the enemy will try to counterfeit anything that is of God. You don't think this is counterfeited? They'll come by your house once a month and go like this. Can we talk to you? Can we just share God with you? Oh, yeah, you must be a Christian. Oh, we're sure we're a Christian like you. And it's counterfeited. Counterfeit worship. Right? Bells and whistles and smoke, and it's all up there. It's all about them and entertainment. It's not heartfelt worship. He'll counterfeit that. Same thing with the work of the Holy Spirit. Counterfeiting. And people that are acting weird and possessed of the wrong spirit, representing the Holy Spirit and looking weird, like, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't either. And let me just give you something to think about. The power, the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with weirdness and charismatic excesses. It has everything to do with power and boldness and authority and preaching the Word of God and being bold. Actually, not wavering, but stable. Not weird, but explosive and dynamic. And it's not intimidating, is it? It's not intimidating. It doesn't intimidate. It doesn't back down. It preaches with spiritual power.